the hood. Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome into Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app. I'm Jonathan Hood. Follow the show on Twitter at TweetJHood, also Instagram, IGJHood, and all of our guests are on the Corona Hotline. You know, the last time the NBA All-Star Game came to Chicago, I was a sophomore in high school. That's how long it's been since we saw the All-Star Game come to Chicago. I will tell you this, that Chicago really did it right. They really did it right. The celebration of the city, the history of Chicago basketball, the embrace of players like Dwayne Wade and adopting Michael Jordan and Derrick Rose and Mark Aguirre and Isaiah Thomas and Quinn Buckner and so many others that come to mind, like Candace Parker, who is part of the slam dunk competition as a judge, Maurice Cheeks, Coach K, the Doc Rivers, Cappy Pondexter. The list goes on and on of terrific Chicago basketball elite players, men and women that have played in this city. And it goes back to a topic that we discussed our last show on Thursday, in talking about how important it is for we to be able to discuss the history of Chicago basketball. Chicago basketball is not Chicago Bulls basketball in 2020. That's not what it's about. This weekend, just from conversations that I had at bars and restaurants over the last 3 days, was just talking about the history of great players. Players that we don't even talk about, that used to have great games, that were terrific at their in high school or in college, that we don't talk about anymore. Because in today's society, in some places of our society, the thought of history is not important, but it is important because it really is a microcosm of everything that is Chicago basketball. And I really enjoyed what we went through this weekend because the history of Chicago basketball was on full display. The bars, the restaurants around the United Center, in and around downtown Chicago, where you see basketball dignitaries, you know, owners and GMs and agents, former players, current players, all commingling, all coming together for something as special as the All-Star Game. It was a star-spangled weekend, and there was a number of things that stood out to me as far as being at the United Center watching what we saw as we talk about this with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. So just to see Magic Johnson have a stirring tribute on Kobe Bryant was great, because it's one thing for the All-Star Game and the All-Star festivities to take place in Chicago, but there was still that feeling about Kobe Bryant that was permeating throughout the city because it's still fresh. That feeling of Kobe Bryant and knowing that he's passed away, someone who loved the game, someone who embodied how great the game was. It was just great to be able to see so many people thinking about Kobe Bryant and how special he was. And Magic Johnson had a nice, stirring tribute for him. In the game, in the All-Star Game, there's so many things to talk about with the All-Star Game, but one of them that resonates is that Kawhi Leonard won another award. That actually means something, because in that game, he had 8 three-pointers, and he was the MVP of the All-Star Game. So, once again, with everything that's going on, controversy around Saturday's slam dunk competition, controversy around the finish of the All-Star Game, here's Kawhi Leonard quietly going about his business. He is a very mercurial, interesting superstar that we see right at our fingertips. And because he's not LeBron James, or because he's not Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan or other great players that we've seen, he doesn't get enough press because he didn't talk a lot. He's not very flashy. He's just a guy that it just goes about his business and tries to win championships and trying to get a third championship with yet another team. But he was the MVP of the All-Star Game, because Kawhi just defends and he plays well and he does what he does. And it's as simple as that. So that also stood out, because it wasn't necessarily a big headline, but it should be, because once again, we're watching something special. Watching that big block from Giannis Antetokounmpo on LeBron James toward the end of that All-Star Game, I really believe that when we see the ebb and flow of seasons and eras in sports, there's always a passing of the torch. And you can go from Michael to Kobe, from Kobe to LeBron, and LeBron still, no matter if you like him or not, it doesn't matter. I have a mortgage and I'm an adult. I don't care if you don't like him or not. I mean, he's great. The point is that we're looking at a passing of the torch at some point for LeBron James, because once he is done and away from the circle of winning championships and not in the mix for championships, he's going to go to someone else. And I know that there is a lot of people looking at Giannis Antetokounmpo and watching how great the Milwaukee Bucks have been here in the regular season and trying to figure out, is Giannis the next guy? Because we see a player again in the NBA, a caliber that we've never seen before, the size, the ability to do so many things that point guards do. The bigger these athletes are that come into the league, the more that they can do. And it is just tremendous to watch the evolution of basketball, where you see Giannis Antetokounmpo come to the forefront, and he's just great. Off the bat, he's just great, and he just continues to try to work on his craft. That block, though, was that a foreshadowing of what's to come between LeBron and Giannis Antetokounmpo? The crazy slam dunk competition. You know, I have been a proponent saying that the slam dunk competition, it does not matter anymore. I've always said that the three-point competition should be the main event on All-Star Saturday, because no one's really talking about dunks through the regular season. If you see a dunk, it's usually from a college game, maybe a breakaway dunk here and there and on a House of Highlights or on, you know, on SportsCenter or something like that. But you just don't see it as often anymore. It does not resonate like it used to. And what we saw on Saturday night was an actual pretty good slam dunk competition in which you take a look at Derrick Jones Jr., the winner of the slam dunk competition, who I had winning the slam dunk competition. I didn't know he was going to be that great. And then Aaron Gordon being kind of robbed of his second trophy since 2016. I kind of think that maybe Aaron Gordon should have won, but actually I think the controversy is good, because maybe next year both of these guys will go after one another to try to get that crown again. Even though it might have a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths thinking that, oh, Derrick Jones Jr. won, but I really think Aaron Gordon should. Well, doesn't matter. Because if Gordon goes back at it and feels a little frustrated about it, now you got a rivalry. Now you got those two going back and forth. Pat Connaughton also should go back next year, because I thought watching it live at the United Center, Pat Connaughton, for the dunk that he put up, he was better than what the judges gave him. I like to see him back in the mix as well, because it was just very interesting. But controversy is not a bad thing in sports, is it? Because look how that thing was trending Saturday night. Look at the numbers. I got the ratings on one of my many NBA emails. I'm sure Eric has those as well, like the voluminous amount of emails. But we saw the numbers, and there was a lot of people that were watching that as a number one show on Saturday night. Saturday night's supposed to be a bad TV night, and that thing was wide open. Everyone was watching because they were curious on what was going on Twitter, and people were talking about All-Star Saturday Night in Chicago. So all those things were happening. And just the focus at the end of the All-Star game as well, which was really fun. Because as much as we are against change sometimes, where you're used to seeing four quarters of basketball, you're not used to seeing an NBA All-Star game or any NBA games of any sort where there's no clock at the end, where you have to shoot for a certain amount of points to score to be able to win the game. It was unique. But the All-Star game is unique because ultimately all of this is just exhibition play. All of it's about exhibition. And in this case, at least there was something on the line when it comes to a charity that was on the line between Team LeBron and Team Giannis Antetokounmpo. I have no problem with change. As long as you're entertaining, it doesn't matter to me. As long as it works out. And there's always going to be backlash, because this is why we have social media. You know, without social media, just be people that will just be sending letters to the editor, mad, getting behind their keyboard and just typing away at things that they don't like because of something they saw on television. Change is fine for me, because I realize what the game is. If you just want to complain about things, I mean, that's why I guess you have social media, so you can just yell in your echo chamber about nothing. But for me, it was different, and I'm glad that they both teams are trying to shoot to get that certain number so they can win for their charity. And actually, watching the end of that game, in a lot of ways is really no different than some All-Star games that I've seen, in that, you know, if the game gets tight, all of a sudden players start playing a little bit better, a little bit tighter defensively, because they see that the game is in the balance and they try to win. So that's what I saw on Saturday was kind of mirrors some of the All-Star games that I've seen. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Also, I just want to point out this too, and that is that Chicago was at its very best when I saw, just going to certain events at the Quest Gym on the West Side, going to certain events around the United Center. Everything was not just at the United Center. There was a lot of places within the neighborhood. The NBA does it best by understanding that going to boys and girls homes and going to these places, going to these gyms across the city to be able to visit with young men, young women that love basketball or enjoy watching the great NBA players come to their place. It's great. The pop-up for Dwayne Wade going back to his high school, several players going back to Simeon just to say hello to the student body because they're in town. It's great. The NFL does not do it enough. I think other sports could really learn from the NBA that the way that this sport grows is through grassroots. And I thought that it was a tremendous grassroots effort by the NBA, being all over the place. They were south side, they were up north, they were on the low end on the south side, they were in a lot of different places around the city, trying to be able to grow the sport, saying, hey, we have former players and current players that can be in your backyard to do boys and girls seminars, to be able to talk about community issues, raising money, all these different things. And it was, I thought it was really cool to be able to be a part of a lot of these events. And I knew the NBA was strong in that regard, but when they come to the city and you get all these emails saying, hey, you should come to this, you should come to this party, you should come to this event, come to this award ceremony, it's cool. It's really cool. And it is really great for the NBA and the city. So, just understand this, that when you have an event like this and it brings everybody together, the reason why that this is even as big as it was is because we can't have a Super Bowl in Chicago. We can't have a Super Bowl in Chicago because it's an open air stadium. It's in Chicago. So it's never going to happen, at least maybe not in my lifetime, unless there's a new stadium in place. But this is the next biggest thing, and that is to have an All-Star game in Chicago. Can't get a Super Bowl, so we get an All-Star game, either for the NHL or for the NBA. Those are major big events, and I'm glad it happened in the city. All right, we will continue to talk about what's going on with the NBA because it's right around the corner. The season, it will resume coming up on Thursday, where you see your Chicago Bulls take on the Charlotte Hornets. That's right around the corner, because I know, just like me, you want to see 27 more games or 26 more games of this nonsense, right? You want to see this. Coming up next, I'll tell you what was not talked about in abundance here in Chicago over the last 3 days. We'll discuss it as we move forward here. It's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow on Twitter at TweetJHood.
Peace up. A-Town.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app. So glad that you're with us. Still glowing, the afterglow of what happened in Chicago with the All-Star festivities. Eric, I'll tell you, you were there and I was there too. The United Center gets really big when you're looking for people, right? Because I could not find you. I don't know where Chris and Adam were. I know that we had several people, but so I just was in my seat in my area for the last couple of days and talking to people. I guess one of the highlights is a shout out to all the limo, Uber, Lyft drivers and taxi drivers, man. They had a great weekend. There was one incident where I'm in the Lyft and there's somebody, this lady was just going after her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend. And she was just yelling at Roosevelt. I don't know who Roosevelt is, but he got an ass chewing by this girl. And he was like, okay, where's your car? I'm like, I'll just walk. she was upset, but that was a great time, was it not?
It really, the whole weekend was so much fun. Like Saturday night with that 3-point in the dunk contest, I left sitting there thinking, like, I had so much fun as soon as I got back to my car, I called my buddy who was watching at home to see if, like, it translated to TV. Because in the United Center during that dunk-off, everyone was standing. Like, it was such a good event. And then it turns out it did translate. Everyone else enjoyed it. Probably not as much as we did in the arena, but they all enjoyed it a lot still.
It was great. It was just a great. And I don't know. It's something weird that's happened. There's this sense of civic pride, of city pride, because the All-Star Game was here. Only because, hey, it's a mega event. We're never going to get the Super Bowl here because of Soldier Field. But so when a major event happens, when all the stars, not just sports, but entertainment are here too. Got a chance to see Tiffany Haddish. That was kind of cool. In the hallway. That's kind of cool. But when we get that feeling of, wow, the city really showed its best side in a big way for a mega event. I really enjoyed that.
They did. Like, Jennifer Hudson was amazing last night. Mm-hmm. That tribute was incredible. Common's intros, like, they really brought out Chicago. Like they said, they really repped Chicago hard yesterday and the whole weekend. And I think the NBA in the whole, like, enjoyed that Chicago was a part of the All-Star team, even though the Bulls could not be a part of the All-Star weekend.
Yeah, that's actually made it better. Because everybody yeah. else, Zach LaVine represented. He was there. I mean, it's what you and I thought, right? He's in a 3-point competition. Okay, this is not going to go well. Oh, it didn't go well. Because he should have been in slam dunk competition, probably would have won it, right?
Yeah, he was definitely in the wrong competition. No doubt.
There, there was something that was not mentioned in a lot of corners of bars and restaurants for All-Star Weekend. We'll tell you what that is coming up next. You're listening to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000, the new ESPN Chicago app.
It's Under the Hood. Follow us on the gram at IGJHood and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, the brand new ESPN Chicago app. Jonathan Hood with you. Hit me up, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Instagram as well, IGJHood, or Snapchat, SnapJHood. Full show tomorrow. We're coming off of Notre Dame basketball. We'll have a full show tomorrow between 7 and 10 right here on ESPN 1000. You know, one of the things that was not talked about, and there was a lot of things, basketball, that was talked about with the All-Star game right here in our city, in Chicago, my hometown. And there were so many people, all many writers, all media of all types, and well as former players, current players, GMs, executives. In all the places that I went to over the weekend, one of the things that was not talked about was the current Chicago Bulls. That was one of the topics that was not talked about. And I know that on my social media, there's this feeling that after everything was done, when the smoke was cleared, after the All-Star game, it's like, oh, you know, it was great that the All-Star game was here, but we didn't have Zach LaVine. It didn't have a representative for the All-Star game. And I'm thinking, you know, you can't be that big of a sucker. You can't be that big of a sucker to think, man, only it would have been much more enjoyable if Zach LaVine would have been in the All-Star game. You don't realize the pressure that's on Michael Reinsdorf when he meets all of his executive friends and all his people at the cigar bar or in high places in the city, way above the city, looking down on us. And they're talking to Michael Reinsdorf and they're smiling in his face and they're shaking his hand. But even Michael Reinsdorf knows in the back of his mind, yeah, they like the money that we're making. They realize that the attendance is pretty strong at the United Center, but they also know that I'm not doing well as the leader of this Bulls team, as the lead executive of this team, as the person that's supposed to be able to make this right. He knows that even though he had his legs crossed and talked to across the table, across couches to certain executive friends of his, he's got to know that in the back of their minds, they're like, hey, Michael, good to see you. Boy, your team sucks. Because it kind of does. It's just mediocre. It's not where Milwaukee is. It's not where Toronto is. It's not where the Lakers or the Clippers are. It's not where Denver or Utah is. They're not a perennial winner like some of these other teams in the top eight of the East or West. The Bulls are a laughing stock because of how they're being run. When you have agents that are scurrying away from Chicago and rather send their players to Minnesota, send their players to other places around this country and not a world-class city like this one, there's a reason why that Michael Reinsdorf should be embarrassed. And I have been saying that. Eric has heard me say that many times because it's true. You have to understand that when you're in a top three market like Chicago and you are languishing at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, and you keep trying to bring in players and they keep getting injured, it's not bad luck. After a while, it's a lack of real judgment. The biggest issue with Chicago Bulls basketball is the L word, not the TV show, but the word loyalty. That's the problem around here, that there's so much loyalty that you hold on to the same eyes that have seen so much ineptitude that you think that it's a good thing to keep them around, when you have to realize that having new set of eyes, to have new people in your organization to see things differently is okay. It's okay for me to have a staff on this show that disagrees with me on certain topics that I talk about, or certain angles, or when to put those angles on the show. It's okay to be able to have a difference of opinion on those things. And the same thing here with the Chicago Bulls. The idea that Michael Reinsdorf is no different than Jerry, in which he just allows the same eyes to look at the organization and see you at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, is a joke. And by the way, it's also a joke for you to continue to pay good money, whether it's disposable income for you or not. It is a shame that in this world-class city, where there was pomp and circumstance and there's a big spotlight in our city, that you can get one representative to represent the city outside of All-Star Saturday in an event that Zach LaVine shouldn't have been in. Outside of that, it wasn't much of anything. So that's the whole issue. So as I mentioned, there wasn't a lot of conversation about the 2020 Bulls. There was a lot of conversation about the championship Bulls. There's a lot of conversation that I was involved with as far as, you know, looking at the entire league or the Bulls in the past or great Chicago sports athletes, great Chicago basketball players from the past, but nothing about the 2020 Bulls. Not a lot of conversation about that. Until we saw Joe Cowley yesterday, Joe Cowley in the Sun-Times, who wrote this piece. Bulls front office has used All-Star Weekend to start making changes. According to several NBA executives, Bulls Vice President John Paxson and COO Michael Reinsdorf used All-Star Weekend to start the process of finding a new general manager. Is that real change if John Paxson's part of that search for a new GM? The worst kept secret in Chicago basketball is Gar Forman has no say. We can't even get Gar Forman on the show because Gar Forman is not really in the mix like he used to be as a general manager. He's a GM in name. But if John Paxson and Michael Reinsdorf are looking for the next GM, then what does that really mean? Let me dig into this column a little bit more. Bulls team president and CEO Michael Reinsdorf and vice president of basketball operations John Paxson weren't exactly front and center during the public activities, but they definitely were lurking. Actually, they were engaged in the initial legwork for a much-needed change coming to the organization. According to several NBA executives, the Bulls are in the early stages of adding a new face to the front office, with the position defined as general manager with a louder voice. One executive said that the talks with candidates have been through back channels with no formal interviews taking place, but the search is believed to be widespread. It goes on to talk about how Gar Forman was never high on Doug Collins' list because Doug Collins was brought in as a senior advisor. He was not a big Forman fan because of the hire of Fred Hoiberg. It goes on to talk about this. Coach Boylan's situation will be interesting to watch. The current front office and ownership have backed Boylan fully, but all indications are that the new hire will be given the chance to stick with Boylan or bring in a coach that he can handpick. That scenario works from a public relations standpoint because if Boylan is let go with two more years on his deal, Paxson and Reinsdorf would be able to explain it away as standing behind the new GM. And here is the coup de grace. Here's the coup de grace. As far as Chairman Jerry Reinsdorf's take on all this, he likes the White Sox model in which GM Rick Hahn has been empowered and former GM Kenny Williams has been allowed to slip in the background in his VP role but still have a say on matters. Second verse, same as the first. What difference does it make as we talk about this with Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app? What difference does it make, right? If the business model is the same, in which you have John Paxson in place to pick a new GM, they're not going to fire Gar. They're not going to fire Gar. Gar will be like some super scout like he has been the last 2 or 3 years anyway. He'll have a different title, but he'll still be part of the organization because of the word loyalty. It's okay to have someone in place in high positions of the organization, but if you see the one-loss record not to your liking, you can make that change. Listen, as an executive, you have every right to do what you want to do. And you can run the organization the way you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to support it. That doesn't mean that you have to support it either. Why keep eating dog crap when you know it's dog crap as a fan? If you know that these other teams are just passing the Bulls up, the Memphises of the world, the Miamis of the world, all these teams that are getting younger and better and more aggressive. If those teams are better than the Bulls, then why keep eating it? It's one thing to be a fan. But you can't be so much of a fan that you can't see the forest for the trees. You can't be so much of a fan that you don't realize that they've been BSing you all these years. After Tom Thibodeau, remember, it was Tom Thibodeau's fault that the Bulls had all these injuries. Now look at 2020. Is it still Tom Thibodeau's fault that there's three or four Bulls that are hurt and we continue to see injuries to key young players? Is that Tom Thibodeau's fault too? You cannot fall for the okey-doke if you're a Bulls fan. You have to understand what is going on with this organization. I saw this piece and I thought, okay, someone else will come in. Well, who's going to be behind door number three? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Doug Collins? Is that going to be the new general manager for the Bulls? I mean, if it's someone else, that person will not have full autonomy. You can bring in Bobby Marks, who should be in a position right now that works for ESPN. You can bring in Bobby Marks tomorrow, but Bobby Marks will never be able to have full say because he has to be able to collaborate with John Paxson and Michael Reinsdorf and probably some others before that person can say, hey, I have a bold move I want to do. I want to make this trade and pull the trigger. Nah, can't do that. Well, why not? They're just so afraid of change. But if you don't change, you get the same thing. That's the whole point of this. And so I saw the column, and there were some people that came up to me and said, hey, you know, there's going to be a change. Well, what change, really? like John Paxson is not going anywhere. John will be out of the job when John wants to leave. And probably the same thing with Gar Forman, too, because he's been around the organization. I've never seen anything quite like this in sports. You just hang on to a person just to hang on to them, even though you're losing with that same personnel, with the same people that are in the front office. Why? Because they have a nice golf game? Why? Because they have a nice big house? Why? Because they seem nice to you to your face? Hey, business is business. But here's the issue. If the Bulls were drawing less than a million fans, or somewhere in that area, or less than 2 million, you know, and the place was empty, there probably would be change. But because fans continue to want that Benny the Bull popcorn trick, because they love the classic rock that's blaring through the United Center, because they like to see players from the other team, because their kids want to go, you're going to get the same thing because the place is full. It's a top five in attendance. So nothing changes. And so they figure, well, if nothing changes as far as fans going, apparently they love the time, so why should we change things in the front office? You cannot sit on social media and talk about how you are so upset with the Bulls and fire Gar Paxson and go to First Take and yell fire Gar Paxson when you're still watching, you're still supporting. It's one thing to be a fan, but you can't be a fool as a fan. You look at these other teams in the NBA. You take a look at All-Star Weekend as a perfect example. It's a microcosm of it. You look at Zach LaVine not being part of that All-Star team. Not even in the mix. What does that tell you? I've asked Will Perdue before, like, how many stars are on the Bulls? And he waited like 30 seconds before I answered the question because he says, well, one of them should be Zach LaVine, blah, blah, blah. But it took him a while for him to answer because there are no stars in the Bulls. There are no stars. And so there might be a future, but the future is not imminent. And so when I see on my social media, yeah, it was a nice All-Star game, but there's no Zach LaVine. You know, it was a blessing in disguise because it really puts a magnifying glass on the issues with this Bulls team. Where is the star? Not one all-star to represent the team. There's a reason. And so the Cowley piece is interesting, but it's the same to me. It's second verse, same as the first. What's the big difference? Coming up, we'll hear from Scoop Jackson. Scoop Jackson is from ESPN.com. He's got a new book out. The Game Is Not a Game, The Power, Protest, and Politics of American Sports. We'll hear from Scoop Jackson, who was part of the festivities and was around the All-Star Weekend in Chicago. We'll get his thoughts about that coming up next as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
How you doing?
Follow us on the gram at IGJHood and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You listen to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Thanks so much for being with us. Boy, what a weekend we had for All-Star Weekend in Chicago, Indianapolis, and Cleveland after that. They got a lot to do to try to catch up to what happened in the Shy. Scoop Jackson from ESPN was there. So was I. And we are glad that you're with us on ESPN 1000. Scoop, as always, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime, man. Anytime. And Indiana won't match this. Cleveland won't match this. It's going to take a long time. You know, my sons and my nephew, we like, you know, Chicago does things at a whole nother level, so we call it the Shy level.
Yes.
there's regular levels, and then there's Chicago level, and we show, you know, everybody what the Shy level was like.
I mean, it's so special, and just the pomp and circumstance of all of it. What resonated with you the most about the weekend?
Man, there was so much stuff going on during the weekend. To be honest with you, because I was doing stuff with Nike, the whole Boys and Girls Club thing on the West Side, the Martin Luther King Boys and Girls Club that Virgil did. That was, you know, being in that experience for like 3 days was really, really special. And, you know, to really give you inside information, once Kobe passed away, Nike released all the athletes from any, you know, type of agreements they had with them to do during All-Star Game. Mm-hmm. Like, Nike flipped everything for all their athletes. Like, look, you don't have to do anything. Take the time off. Do what you got to do. You know, all the stuff that Nike had signed up for all their athletes to do during All-Star break, they shut it down. Like, you all do. If y'all want to do something, it's fine. If not, we're not gonna make you do anything. And LeBron James and Anthony Davis on Saturday were like, we want to go to the Boys and Girls Club. Like, no media, no. We just want to hang out with some kids. That's all they wanted to. Like, this is on them. Like, this isn't anything that nobody puts. We want to hang out with some kids. We go and hang out with the Boys and Girls Club for about an hour or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, Hood, they got there 20 minutes earlier than they told everybody they were going to get there. You know, so, like, we'll be there at 1. They got there, like, at 12:30. They got there early, right?
Mm-hmm.
Said they're going to spend an hour. They wound up spending 3 hours.
Wow.
Like, just on them. And here's the thing. Like, just chopping it up with kids. Then Virgil showed up, because Virgil, like, kind of designed and curated the whole space. So he showed up. So the kids had LeBron, AD, and Virgil all there. And they, like, impromptu had the kids do a dunk contest where they were judges.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, that's crazy, man. Just out of the blue, like, hey, you know what? We just want to, I know we don't have anything to do, but we want to hang with some kids. So they just hung out with 700 kids. Amazing.
That is so great, because you think about this, right? Like, and when we were growing up, you just don't have superstars just rolling in, just to roll in, just to hang with you. Like, that just wasn't going to happen. And that's why that makes that so special, that stars are willing to spend that kind of time, their own personal time.
Once again, no cameras, no nothing. It wasn't even about that. Just like, you know, you could choose to do anything you want to do. Like, you could rest, you could hang out, you could demand it. Like, we want to kick it with some kids. That's just special. So, to me, Hood, that and what Common did. Common's introduction to the All-Star Game was legendary.
Yeah, I think that was. It was tremendous, and it brought Dwayne Wade to tears.
It should have. I mean, not only to mention his name, man, but he mentioned Vonnie Fields. He mentioned Trash and Billy Harris.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned Ben Wilson. You know what I'm saying? He dropped like some real Shy. And look, man, I was with that dude on Friday. I don't know how the hell we were looking for teleprompters. We're like, dude, you could not have memorized this whole thing.
And he did.
You know, yeah, he did, man. He's amazing. Everything. I mean, yeah. Once again, Shy level, baby. Some people do it at regular level. Then there's a Shy level. We proved that this weekend.
Scoop Jackson from ESPN with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. I did this topic last week, and I want to get your thoughts on it about, you know, it's one thing to look at Michael Jordan, look at Scottie Pippen, the 6 championships in 8 years. But I was trying to figure out, away from the championships, what embodies Chicago basketball. Because I know the conversations I had at bars or just with people around the United Center, the conversation, Scoop, was not about the current Bulls. What are you going to say about them? I mean, it's a team that's not going in the right direction. The organization's not right. The coach is not right. I mean, there's a lot of love for Zach LaVine, and rightfully so. But there's no conversation. So in 2020, what embodies Chicago basketball to you? Because it was all out there for everyone to see what Chicago basketball and the rich tradition of it is. But what is it in 2020?
Chicago Public League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, no. And it always kind of has been under the underbelly, man. You know, we always talk, we could go like when the Bulls were hot, or we can go back when DePaul was making a, you know, national statement, or we can go, you know, when the U of I was doing anything. Hell, we can go a couple of years with Loyola, you know, was the focus of, you know, Chicago basketball. But to me, the one thing that's been consistent and is still consistent now is Public League, man. You know, the Chi Public League still represents, to me, everything Chicago's about. Once again, my sons and my nephew and I were talking yesterday. We're like, Patrick Beverly is the embodiment of what a Chicago basketball player is. Mm-hmm. You know, that get under your skin. I still play defense, you know, baseline to baseline. Still get this in. And people forget Patrick Beverly averaged 37 a game in high school his senior year. Like, you don't even think about Patrick Beverly putting up buckets like that. But he can. But that's a Chicago ball player. You know, so to me, you know, Curry, you know, Morgan Park, Simeon, you know, man, that's still shot basketball, man.
Yeah, I would agree with you, because there would be some executives or people that came into our city and they were just like, yeah, you know, hey, it's the home of the Bulls, but kind of not.
No.
They're kind of not. And to me, the Bulls was not even a conversation. And that just shows you the mark of the organization where it is right now.
Yeah. You know, and they need to take heed of that. You know, I've always said that the one thing that could change a franchise around, that could change an organization around, is when they become irrelevant. And I've always felt in sports, fans have the power to make franchises and organizations become irrelevant. You know, and I think over the next couple of years, if there's no major change with the Chicago Bulls, they'll find themselves to really, really be irrelevant in this city. And once they do that, then Ryan's also going to really have to make a choice. Like, if I really love the city, is it going to be in my best interest to move this in another direction and move out the way? You know, and you look at what happened with the Blackhawks when they got sold. They started winning championships. Look at what happened with the Cubs when they got sold. You know, they won a World Series. You know, and I'm throwing what you call this in there too, with the Bears, in it with the Bulls. At some point, it's on us as fans to, once we're fed up, to have them, you know, understand that we can move on without you, because we do in Chicago have options. There's a lot of places, Hood, that don't have options. You know, you've been around this country. You know, there are some teams that's the only thing that city has.
Right.
Is that team. And they have to rally. We have options in Chicago, so we don't have to stick with the BS you're giving us. So we can make you irrelevant. And once you become irrelevant from a business standpoint, from a franchise standpoint, and from an organizational standpoint, you have to make a change if you're trying to stay here. So let's see what happens. And I think the Bulls are on their way. It seems like it on paper, but it's on us to make it happen if we really, really get fed up with this.
Scoop, I said this leading into the All-Star break. I've said this several times, and maybe it hit home for Michael Reinsdorf, but I said, man, look, with the whole basketball community, the whole, like, family reunion, the whole barbecue, everybody coming to our city, right?
Yeah.
If I'm Michael Reinsdorf, you know that other owners or other executives or, you know, those that own in Nike and other places, I would be embarrassed to be in that room, because even though they're smiling on your face and they're giving you a handshake, they know, they're like, man, this is not good. I mean, we're glad we're here, but your organization is crap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I personally would be embarrassed as an owner to see what's been going on with the city, especially when you're in a spot where it's an All-Star break. You think you can lure in free agents, and you know you just can't because you're not a destination anymore like you are in Los Angeles, Miami, in Dallas, and other places. So I would be embarrassed. And so then we see over the weekend the story from Joe Cowley saying that there might be a changing of the guard in the front office. And I said earlier, look, I'll believe it when I see it, but it seems like maybe Michael Reinsdorf does feel some embarrassment that his organization is stagnant and losing and embarrassing.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. But what are they going to do with that embarrassment? It hasn't hit them in the pocket yet, Hood. That's the thing. you know, they can feel embarrassed by the product they put out there, but they're still haven't hit rock bottom. And I think at some point, feeling embarrassed is one thing, but you have to hit rock bottom in order to change. Mm-hmm. And they haven't hit rock bottom yet. But, you know, we have the power to help them. And, well, you don't ever want to do that, but if it's for the betterment of this city and what you're supposed to represent as a team that reps this city, you know, if you have to hit rock bottom for you to get back to that sky level, then we have to help you hit rock bottom. Then it's necessary. I hate to use this analogy, but if you've known anybody that's had a drug problem,
right,
a serious drug problem, what's the old saying? We can't help you unless you're ready to help yourself.
Right?
Okay. A lot of times, if you ever dealt with that in your family, with friends, whatever, somebody has a drug problem, they have to hit rock bottom. You have to allow them to hit rock bottom for them to say, okay, I need help. All that talking you do, because once again, you said they're embarrassed. Most people that have drug problems, or alcohol problems, whatever their problem is, they're embarrassed. That's because they hide a lot of stuff. They don't do stuff in front of you. They do stuff in the shadows because they're embarrassed. Like you said, Michael Ronson, he's embarrassed. But in order for that change to happen, they have to hit rock bottom. You got to remove the pillow from the floor and let them hit that concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way they change. And that's kind of the same. I use that as an analogy of what has to happen in this situation. Unfortunately, I think they may be embarrassed, but Hood, they may have to hit rock bottom to really, like, wake up and, like, okay, what do we really have to do? I don't know what that is, and it's hard to say. Because not too many owners give up ownership. But if they are really, really, really about what this city stands for and not what their ownership to this organization is about, then they find a way to get out the way and do what's for the best interest of the city and just really do what's in the best interest for the city.
Scoop Jackson with us here on ESPN 1000. Scoop, hang on, because I want to talk to you more about the Bulls and what the future holds for the Bulls here this season as you listen to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow on Twitter at @TweetJHood.
Scoop Jackson of ESPN with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Just the way it's run, Scoop, is just a missed opportunity because with everybody coming here, and if you're a player and you're thinking about free agency, the love that you're getting just because you play in the NBA, all the restaurants, all the activities that you had, I mean, it's there for you to be able to entertain certain new players for your Bulls team, but then after they get on the plane, they're like, nah, I just can't. And it's not even a weather thing as much as it is just an organizational structure thing, because Milwaukee's doing just fine for right now. So it's not the Midwest as much as it is. What's this organization's about? Oh, is that what it's about? No, I can't play here.
No, but you're looking at something deeper now. You're looking at player development. You know, we can't say the Bulls have done a fantastic job, you know, during the drafts over the last like 5 years, but they have had a decent amount of players that haven't developed into anything more than when they came here. You know, you really just mentioned Milwaukee, which is one thing, but let's go down to Miami. If there's any team that should be in the cellar, is Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, you know, and Chris Bosh. You lose them, and guess what? Look at where they're at in like 3 years or 4 years from there. And look at where the Bulls are. The fact that Pat Riley has been able to turn that around and develop players and draft players and get the best out of players, that's just business, man. So you're looking at, you know, we're not saying Pat Riley's a genius, but you're looking at what can be done with the right people doing it. You know, Pat Riley didn't have any, like, it wasn't about, like, him getting the first pick in the draft or this, that, and the other. He built this. He knows what he's doing. He got the right coaching staff. He has the right scouts. Everything's working because, you know, he's like, man, I'm good. I'm going to show you how to do this. And we don't have that. So it's a whole, we need to look at it totally different. It's not just the players. It's who's running the players. It's the organization. Because, like you said, Milwaukee's doing one thing, and that's fine. And you see what they dealt off of one play. Hell, they lost Jabari Parker,
right,
who was supposed to be the one to turn the franchise around, but they got Giannis and built it around. That's just smart business. But if you take Milwaukee and Miami and look at what they've done over the last 7 years and look at what the Bulls have done, you'll see what the ineptness is about. And you'll see the ineptness is not about the players. It's organizational, man.
There's no question about it. As we talked to Scoop Jackson from ESPN.com with Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood right here on ESPN 1000. I have a new book in my hand. It's the Game Is Not a Game, the Protest, the Power of Protest and Politics of American Sports by Scoop Jackson. Guess who got an advanced copy of this book? It's me. I'm happy about this. tell us about this, man. The Game Is Not a Game.
It's a book I took like 2 years to write, and you know, I was senior writer for ESPN.com for 11, 12 years, and when I switched over to senior writer of SportsCenter, it kind of freed me up to write a long form, you know, long form stories like I used to do with columns. And basically what I did, I looked at topical issues that we talk about in sports and found a way to flush them out from columns to chapters. So, you know, there's chapters on the NFL, chapters about Colin Kaepernick, chapters about the NCAA, chapters about analytics, you know, I just wrote a bunch of chapters that I thought were, you know, topical conversations that we have in sports. And, you know, thought about, we still have those conversations for years from now as we're having them right now, and did a bunch of research mm-hmm. to try to flush them out into chapters and like presented them in to one thing. My whole concept, Hood, was to, I wanted to do a sport book that was equal to like Nas's Illmatic.
Ah.
That's all I thought. Uh-huh. But it wound up being like 13 chapters instead of 8, you know, or 9. But I wanted to do like Nas's Illmatic. It's like 9 songs deep, and every song has its own life. You know, you can listen to it individually, or you can look at it as a whole, listen to it as a whole package. I wanted to do that. And that was the model which I built the book off of. And even though it's a little longer than Illmatic, that's kind of what I tried to present, you know.
Well, so and for those that don't know, that is a press play album. You don't, there's no skips on that.
No, never. And that's what I try to do. Every chapter is different. It's not a singular read. You know, it's not one of those things I think you like sit down and you can read it in one moment. But, you know, I think hopefully you enjoy it that way. But every chapter is so different. They don't connect. You know, everything, like you said, it's press play. They all have their own identity. So, you know, we'll see.
The Game Is Not a Game, the Power, Protest, and Politics of American Sports. When does it officially come out?
Official drop date is March 3rd, but it probably hit everywhere around the middle of March. We're going to have a launch party here in Chicago, so hopefully you'll be there.
Oh, yeah, launch party. Yes, well,
drinks on me.
Oh, well, that's always.
that's
always. Listen, I'm just barely making it here on 1000, so hey, man, I need your help every now and then, you know. As I look at my credit card, I'm surprised it didn't bounce in some of the places I went to this weekend.
Dude, look, we just all standing in that Stephen A. line. Stephen A., can you loan us something, baby?
Let me hold some, please. Let me hold some, Stephen A. All right, well, I'm glad that you stopped in, man. I want to get your thoughts about this weekend, because there's just a lot of city pride in me right now. I always had it, but just when you have an event like this, everything goes smoothly. Everywhere you go, there's a love for the city. And on top of that, again, we got to talk about Chicago area kids coming back that play in the NBA, like a Kendrick Nunn who plays Simeon. And he talks, he swells up in pride just talking about Jabari Parker and Derrick Rose and some of the others who play as Simeon. So that pride is still dwelling even on a Monday.
It's one of those funny things, man, is that, you know, you're from here. We knew the All-Star game was coming. We've been talking about it for over a year now. Mm-hmm. And we knew this was going to happen, but for it to happen is still come off the way it did. It's still, you know, surprising to us. But we expect this of ourselves. We know, real folks from Chicago know what the city's all about. You know, and what happened this weekend is indicative of how we roll every day. You know, the world may see it differently, but we here know what we're about and know what we have the possibility of doing and how we roll and how we function. But even to live in that and see it come off the way it did is still, it's a really humbling, blissful feeling, man.
What about Indy?
Good luck. That's all I got. Good luck. Good luck.
It's not the same. You know,
we haven't had an All-Star game here in 32 years, and we might not have another for 30 years, but it's going to be hard for anyone to top this, because we're going to be talking about this one for 30 years.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will, because it was just so great. I'm glad you spent time, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Anytime, family. Appreciate you having me on, my man.
The author of the new book, The Game Is Not a Game, in bookstores very soon in the month of March. Look for it. The Power, Protest, and politics of American sports. It's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Go!
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Between 7 and 10 right here on ESPN 1000, the all-new ESPN Chicago app. Jonathan Hood with you. One of the storylines for this weekend was the Cubs and Chris Bryant. And as I've said, even where Chris Bryant is now at age 28, I still think that he's a cornerstone for this franchise. The future is Javi Baez. I mean, that's the guy. That's the straw that stirs the drink for the Cubs. There's no doubt about that. But I'm a Chris Bryant fan. I just think that he's a cornerstone for the franchise over there at third base. But there's a likelihood that he could be someplace else by the time the season starts or by the time we get to the deadline. So Chris Bryant held his own press conference, got to camp over the weekend, 8 a.m., says, you know what, I need to talk to the press because I got to get some stuff off my chest. One of the things he talked about is dealing with the trade speculation.
It's been pretty easy, too. I've had a lot of doctor's appointments and baby stuff and getting a nursery ready and all that. So it's been really easy. But I guess lately, as you get closer towards spring, it's kind of like baseball mode is on, and it's kind of like you see more of it, I guess. So that's been a little difficult. But other than that, you know, I guess there were trade rumors last offseason, too. And, you know, going through that, I understand as part of the process as you get closer to free agency and everything's up in the air. So I understand it, and I just really try my best to tune it out.
So Chris Bryant, who's been very talkative and very vocal, I think over the last couple of years, I think the first time it kind of turned my head of him saying something was him kind of dissing Cardinal fans. I was like, wait, where did that come from? Like personality, it's a little bravado there, thumping his chest as a Chicago Cub. It was something different. He didn't get used to that with Chris Bryant because he hadn't heard that before. But now a lot more open on his feelings. And that's good because that way when you're saying how you feel, it can't be misconstrued. I know that a lot in this generation that you text your feelings or you put it in some kind of Instagram post hiding behind poetry or the spoken word, but it's nothing like being able to have a live mic saying how you feel. That way there won't be any question marks about it. So one of the things he talked about is trying to be in the loop with the talks as far as his contract.
I would like one. I would like to be in the loop a little bit. It's safe to say, obviously, they don't have to keep me in the loop by any means, you know, but I feel like I've earned a little respect here and just how I go about my business and just who I am as a player and a person to kind of sit down and have talks like that. And who knows, it might happen. I pack my locker because I have to talk to you guys, which is a good thing. But, I'm sure it'll happen, but it would be nice. But hey, I'm going with the flow, man.
So very loose is Chris Bryant coming off of being away for a while, now back to the Cubs, and he wants to have his own kind of just talk about what was on his feeling in his heart about this Cubs situation with his contract. As you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, hopefully something will take place that's a positive for Chris Bryant. If not, you can go someplace else to a contender and be able to do what he does with another team. I'm sure if he does get traded, it will be to a contender and he'll make that team better, just like he helped the Cubs get better as well. Another big burning story from baseball. You would think that, you know, going into the season for 2020, that there would be more positive stories about who can win the World Series and all that. But the big story has been the Houston Astros and this cheating scandal. And my feelings about the Astros has not changed since we found out the findings from Major League Baseball in their investigation. And that is that baseball players, baseball teams have cheated for generations. Before I was born, before Eric and Tyler were born, there was always this feeling that players were going to take an extra inch. If you give them an inch, you're going to take a mile to be able to go around the rule book to make sure that they have the advantage. And cheating is nothing new for Major League Baseball. So Rob Manfred comes across as like this guy that is out of touch when it comes to this issue, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He's going to talk. See, he's going to talk tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday. So he's going to talk tomorrow. He also talked over the weekend about this. So he went to Florida. He's going to go to Arizona as well. We'll have Jesse on to talk about this issue. But Rob Manfred says the Astros just need to accept responsibility.
One of the most important things that has to happen in order to put this episode, people are never going to forget about it, but to move on from it, is for the entire organization, starting from the top, owner all the way through the players, to accept responsibility and to apologize not only to their fans, but to the fans across the other 29 teams. And it's hard to deny the fact that that's going to be an ongoing process here. It didn't get done the other day.
Yeah, if you listen to the Astros and the sound bites that we heard, they were just so strident and so arrogant about this whole situation. Some showed some remorse and some were just like, you know, some of these players that are saying that we cheated, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, clearly from the report and all the reports that we've read and heard about with this story, yes, the Astros did cheat, but they're making it seem like that they were just fine, that there was no cheating taking place. It is amazing because the Astros reminds me so much of our government over the years, in which you say one thing and mean another, or something that's as obvious as a nose in your face, and then all of a sudden, no, it's not that. Well, we're seeing what's going on. They cheated. They had buzzers. They had certain sound effects to make sure they knew what pitch was coming. So not surprising, right? This is where we are in 2020. Something that's obvious, just deny it and just keep it moving. That's really strange, but that's where we are. I thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to Scoop Jackson for being with us. Tyler and Eric on the other side of the glass. Full show tomorrow between 7 and 10. Don't forget the podcast. Go to the ESPN Chicago app. Go to the podcast. Subscribe to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.